Ella.
I'm Madeline.
I'm Liam.
I'm Violet.
And I'm Lara. Hi, this is a chat with Mrs. Brenda Sturgate. Today our essential question is, how can humans do more to help animals? We are joined by our very special guest, Michelle. She works at Barra Sea Ranch in California in San Benito County, Piscinas, California. Thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Can you tell us about what you do?
And
I can tell you about what I do. So I am a co-owner of a ranch called Barra Sea Ranch. It's a guest ranch where we have essentially a dude ranch. We have guests come from all over the world to experience the country lifestyle. On our ranch, we have a lot of different farm animals and a very few exotic animals that are added in there, all of which came to us because they could no longer function at their previous owners' homes. So that's really fun. Our guests get to interact with all kinds of different farm animals with all different personalities. And we really want to teach them as much about the country way of life. And so we do a lot of holistic land management and grazing. And then we teach them also all about the animals, as much as they want to learn. So that's kind of what we do here at the ranch.
Cool. What is the difference between wild animals and animals that live with humans?
The difference between wild animals. Wild animals tend to live away from civilization, and they don't interact a lot, and they don't enjoy interacting with humans. Animals that live with people are different in that they live with people and then we provide for them. So the animals that live with people don't have to learn how to hunt, and they don't have to learn how to live without people helping them. Wild animals have to learn how to live and hunt and exist without any help from us.
How do you get the horses to listen to you?
Horses are really funny animals. We use natural horsemanship techniques at our ranch, which just means we've spent a lot of time learning about how a horse learns and their personality. If we want a horse to listen to us, we have to act a little bit like a horse. We have to know how they think, but also we have to know how they learn. And horses learn by something called the release of pressure. So really quickly and briefly, you know how horses are really big. If I want a horse to move away from me when I place my hand like on its side, we teach horses to move away from us because we don't want them to step on us. I'm going to push my hand, not hard, but into that horse's side. When horses are learning, they don't know what to do with that pressure. So they'll, sometimes they lay down, sometimes they push back into us, sometimes they back up, or they run forward, or they jump up in the air. I have to leave my hand with a little bit of pressure on its side until the horse takes one step away from me. Then I take my hand off of the horse's side, and the horse learns by the release of that pressure that that's what it was supposed to do. So if you think about that process, it takes a long time to train a horse and a lot of patience and a lot of being willing to just stay next to the horse while it's being really goofy and doing silly things. So horses learn when we ask something of them, so we apply pressure, push on our hands or even with just our voice, and then when they respond the way that we want, we take that pressure off and the horse knows it did the right thing.
That's a good way to teach them.
Yeah. And I remember me getting one of the hoofs getting stepped on my foot when I came.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Yes, that happens sometimes.
What is the best kind of food for your animals?
The best kind of food for your animals is always the type of food that is most natural to that animal. So if you think about feeding hawks or birds, you would want to feed them as most natural as possible. So that's why when you go to the zoo, you'll see them feed, you know, dead mice or things like that, which I know is kind of gross, but it's the best for them. When we talk about domestic animals that live with us, getting a really balanced feed that was formulated by a veterinarian is usually the best kind of food. So you want to stay away from really, really highly processed foods that just taste good but might have a lot of other ingredients like fats and things that just aren't as healthy for the animals. Does that kind of make sense?
Yes.
We try to buy all of our food, like for the horses. Some of the horses can't eat hay because their teeth are too old and they don't have any teeth. So they eat a formulated pellet, but it's just grass. It doesn't have any extra things that make it colorful or taste better necessarily, because I want the horse to get just the nutrients that it needs. And they learn, like we do, you need to eat your vegetables every day. And if you only eat junk food, vegetables don't taste very good. But if you eat just vegetables, then eventually veggies start tasting really good. So we try to keep our horses and actually all the animals, goats, sheep, everything, eating just the grains that they were naturally, and grasses that they were naturally supposed to eat, and not highly processed foods that look cool and the animals might think taste good.
Yeah, like I remember Midnight, he's 42, and you have to...
He does! You're right! He's 42 and he can only eat pellets. He's too old.
How do you manage to take care of all the animals?
Well, sometimes it's really difficult because we get a lot of animals from the SPCA for Monterey. So sometimes we've got sick animals or just more animals than we normally have on a day. So how do I manage them? I look at all of the animals that we have, and then I estimate the amount of time that I need to give each one of those animals. And then that determines how early I get up in the morning and how late I stay up at night. So when you manage a lot of animals, you have to be willing to put in the longer hours. So you have to be okay with getting up really early and sometimes staying up really late and then trying to sleep, you know, when you can in between there. But we are very precise, so we have checkoff lists and a plan, so every single animal gets seen at least 3 or 4 times a day, and their pens are cleaned every day, and their water is cleaned every day, and then they receive the right kinds of food and the right kind of care at the specific times during the day. So I have people who help us, and I love it when I have 2 or 3 people helping me, because then we can get through everything really quickly. But sometimes it's just me and my husband and my 3 children, and then it takes us an hour or 2 in the morning and an hour or 2 at night longer.
Is there certain exercises for each animal? And if there is, can you tell us some of the exercises?
Sure. I don't want to take up too much time, but it's really important that all animals, especially in captivity, so when they're with humans, we need to keep their minds stimulated and engaged and constantly challenged so that they're growing and being enhanced instead of just sitting there and kind of doing nothing. So with the rabbits, we're now doing agility with them. So they have obstacle courses that we've built very similar to dog obstacle courses. And Laura, since you were here, we've even added some more obstacles for them. But so we'll let the guests take rabbits, guinea pigs, and hamsters through obstacle courses like that. And they love that very much. The goats and the sheep get walked around a lot or just turned out with little groups at a time, because sheep get in and goats get into a lot of trouble, especially when they're in big groups. So we let them out maybe two or three at a time, and we have 660 acres, and they can roam around those anywhere they want to go for several hours during the day. The horses get their exercise is we're constantly keeping them in training to work with people, giving trail rides and arena, like horseback riding lessons. So the horses get out every day learning just how to be good, contributing, nice horses. And then we have one cow, and the cow is getting walked and brushed every day. She is learning how to be a show cow. Yep. And same with the pigs. I forgot. I don't want to take up so much time. But pigs get walked for 40 minutes, morning and night. And so, and with that, they're just learning how to be really respectful and obedient to people. Pigs are funny. We could talk about them at a different time.
And I remember that escaping sheep. That little baby sheep who kept escaping, and then the mom really mad.
Yeah. Absolutely. You're absolutely right.
You also have tons and tons of acres, like 660. That's a lot.
Yes, it is, and I'm very thankful. So there's a lot of room for our animals to run around. Yes.
How are the barn animals part of your life?
The barn animals are our life. So our primary business is people and making them have a really fun stay, but the animals are a huge part of that. So after I make sure that all of the accommodations on our ranch are nice and that people are happy and they have all of the things that they need to be comfortable, then the guests usually come out to the barn and they want to interact with the animals. So as far as my life goes, I love just teaching people about all the different animals and letting them interact and experience the animals and as much as they want. So like we have a bottle lamb right now, so a lamb that the mom rejected at a different ranch, not our ranch. So we got the lamb, and now he has to be fed every 3 hours, all morning and all night. and so that's really fun. That one animal is really fun for me right now because people can sit with the lamb in their lap and feed him a bottle and play with him, and then he follows them around. So that's kind of, all of the animals are a big part of my life.
Yeah.
How are barn animals different from other animals?
Okay, did you say how are barn animals different?
Yeah.
Yes, but we kind of already talked.
Kind of. I can say it really quick, though.
Yeah.
The barn animals we have to provide for, and we have to make sure that all of their needs are met. And the wild animals, they have to make sure they're smart enough and their instinct has to take over, and then they can take care of themselves without our help.
How do animals make everybody's life easier?
You know, animals are very, very soothing to a lot of people. So how do they make people's life easier? There's two ways. One, that I was starting to go with at first, is that animals can be really therapeutic to people who are either older and they might be in a home and they can't get outside. And so the animals can come into their environment and really help them mentally come alive because they can pet the dogs or cats or bunnies, or believe it or not, they bring horses and things into homes where people can't get out. And that's really therapeutic for animal or for humans, so that makes, really enhances human life. The other way is still in Amish country, horses and cattle are used to work and to grow food and things like that. So that's also a way that animals enhance our lives, but I would say more so than work anymore. Animals are just really good pets and therapeutic to everyone, but especially for the people that can't go outside and can't see animals on a regular basis. When those can be brought into them, it's really good.
What have visitors done when they visit you, your farm, to help you?
Well, we've had a lot of people help us on our farm, not just with the animals, but also with big projects that we need. As you can imagine, 660 acres is a lot of land to take care of, and we've had a lot of really just amazing people come around us and help out. One particular story that I would love to tell is a girl named, the Reese's, Suzanne, Sydney Reese, came in yesterday. She was with us back when we started our ranch about 5 years ago. And when we started it, we didn't have a lot of money, but we were given a lot of horses because there's a lot of people in this area that can't take care of their animals anymore. And Sydney put together a garage sale without telling us. She got some kids together up in San Jose, so that's a big town that's about 2 hours away from us. And they did a fundraiser, and they brought back a bunch of money to help with supplies that the horses needed, which was really, really sweet. But then on a daily basis, when our guests come, they can help out cleaning stalls, they can help out feeding all of the animals, they can help us with picking weeds that are poisonous and we can't have out in the pastures, they can help us scrub buckets and water troughs and things like that. So when you come, you can help out in any number of ways.
Why are some people so mean to animals?
You know, that is something that is really hard for me to understand. But I think that there are two reasons that people are mean to animals. And one of the biggest reasons is that they're ignorant, which means they don't understand or don't know how to take care of an animal. And they probably didn't mean to be mean to it. That happens a lot because we're in America, right? And we have a lot of different people come from all over the world, from a lot of different countries. And a lot of times they don't know how to take care of animals like we do. Like we in America have kind of established as a precedent or the right way. So that I see a lot of that with my work with the SPCA that is here. And then the other reason is maybe they are actually have a problem. You know that you've heard of different mental illnesses and things like that. People who are unable to empathize or be kind to an animal, it does happen, and that is sad when it does. But I think those are two kind of reasons that people are mean to animals.
What have people done that help animals?
Can you say that one more time?
What have people already done to help animals?
What have people already done to help animals? They have done a lot, which is really neat. There are some amazing organizations in every town across the United States, such as the SPCA or the ASPCA, which is only in New York, by the way. And those are big organizations that you hear of. And then there are local shelters that take care of animals. So those are all domestic animals, animals that people have touched or have had as pets. The other thing that people are doing to help animals is putting aside large spaces of land. So we have land conservation easements now as a ranch. I could put a section of my ranch into something called a land conservation easement. And that means that forever and ever, nothing can ever be built on that land, and it can only be used for natural habitats and wildlife. And so that with the national parks, there's just a big movement also to keep a lot of open land in America available to the wildlife. So I think those are two great ways that people are helping animals.
I used to live in New York, so.
Oh, did you? Yeah. That's so great.
Well, thank you so much, Michelle, too.
It was very fun talking to you.
Please support your local SPCA. If you're interested in visiting the Bar SC Ranch, check out the website www.barscranch.com.
Thank you so much for our very special guest, Michelle. Please make sure you tune into the chat with Mrs. Burns, third grade, next week, and subscribe to our Apple Podcasts in Apple Podcasts. Bye!